You're on 981 2NM with the Bear this morning, and we're catching up with Upper Hunter member Michael Johnson. Michael, how are you this morning?
I'm very well, thanks, Bear. And I was formerly Upper Hunter Shire.
I know, this is where I got confused. Mate, I just wanted to have a word to you. Sue Moore, the Singleton Council Mayor, has been vocal in her criticism of the proposed bypass for Singleton. And we just wanted to get your thoughts. Have you heard of what she's been talking about?
Yeah, I have. And the Transport for New South Wales have had quite a number of meetings with the Singleton Council, giving them ongoing updates as to where they were up to and what they were doing and so forth. And Transport for New South Wales has also been seeking a lot of community feedback, including from council. And council have, over a little period of time now, expressed that they have a desire to have a full interchange across Putty Road there, or Putty Road.
Yeah, so that was part of the original plan back in 2016, I saw.
It was part of the concept.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. But when you look at the numbers, Transport for New South Wales have come out and said, look, when you actually look at the numbers and when you look at where the traffic's coming from and going to, and you look at the numbers of vehicles that might interact with that intersection on Putty Road, for example.
Yep.
It's just not viable having a full interchange. It'll have a part interchange, but it won't have a full interchange. And I understand where council are coming from, but my understanding is that when the information was put out there and the feedback was sought, that particular interchange was very low down on people's priorities in terms of what they saw as a priority. But having said that, I completely and utterly respect council's view and Sue Moore's view that, you know, this should be looked at, and it has been looked at. It is not proposed to do a full interchange. And I think it's important to understand that what we do need to do is continue to move forward so that we actually get that bypass built. That's going to be the number one thing. And you know, I use my own experience with the Scone bypass. And there were a number of people who, you know, said this should happen and that should happen and so on and so on. And the Transport for New South Wales, who were the project manager for the Scone bypass, did it the way they did it, based on the best available data and experience and engineering information and expertise and so forth. And now look at it. No one ever complains.
Well, no, that's true. But I think Singleton is a slightly different circumstance. Looking at Transport New South Wales, their statistics say something like 30,000 vehicles a day, including trucks, go through the heart of Singleton. So it's going to be a really busy road. So wouldn't it be important to make it a dual carriageway from the start? Because there's only ever going to be more traffic.
Yeah, I understand what you mean, and where you're coming from. It's nowhere near 30,000.
I'm just going off their numbers.
Yeah, well, my understanding, and I'm happy to be corrected, but my understanding is I think it's about 23 or 24,000 that coming in from the south, and the majority of those, or a significant proportion of those vehicles, actually turn off on the Golden Highway intersection, and therefore you've got less going through Singleton, and some of them go to Singleton, do business in Singleton and leave Singleton and head back out. And then you've got less going further north, for example. So the numbers are important. And this has come from what they call origin destination survey. So there's literally cameras that take photos of number plates at all entry and exit points so that they can see by number plate, you know, where you're coming in and where you're going out. And you can determine from that, and it's indisputable because it's taking a picture of the thing, where the traffic flows actually go on a normal basis. And they do it at different times of the day and different days of the week, all those sorts of things, do it over quite a period of time. So the numbers are important to understand. But also the other thing is, too, that when you have those morning and afternoon shift changes, effectively where you do have that build-up of traffic, they're not going to be in a pinch point in the bypass. They're actually going to have continuous flow of traffic. There's nothing to stop them, right?
Unless there's an accident, which is Sue's also mentioned this one. If there's an accident, then everything's going to get funneled back through town. And again, I come back to the more traffic, then that's going to be a greater issue. Yeah. Not that we're expecting accidents, but, you know, these things happen.
A dual carriageway won't stop that.
Well, it just means that they'll be able to bypass a little bit slower and then not have to necessarily go through the heart of Singleton, which I think is her concern.
Possibly, but you can have the same thing anywhere. You can have an accident on the Scone bypass and you're going to have to use Kelly Street. So,
which is a little bit easier. I mean, we're talking about a smaller town in that circumstance, and it's never been as big a bottleneck.
Yeah, that's right. And I agree with you. But in reality, you know, I mean, it wouldn't matter if you had six lanes. Look at the M1. Mm. I've driven down to Sydney a lot for work reasons, obviously. And, you know, we've got three lanes each way, and it's not unusual for that to be blocked off because of an accident.
Which we do now. And this is an interesting point, Michael, and you're in the engine of government. You might be able to help us out with this one. I look at the United States. So I'm sure you've been over there. You see, when they build a highway or have built them, they're like five, six, seven lanes in both directions. They do it well the very first time. Whereas with Australia, if you look at the M1 and even the Western Highway in Sydney, they started out with a couple of lanes, and no sooner had they finished, they go, oh, actually, you know what? We better bang another lane on these things. So why not get in and do it the right way the first time, and then we don't have to worry about upgrading it?
I'm glad you brought it up, Bear. The New South Wales government has it's no secret that we've been putting tens of billions of dollars into infrastructure since we've been in 2011. And one of the problems that we had was a few decades ago, the road reserves were there, but they were actually sold off under the Rand government, under the Rand Labor government.
Right.
And so when you say, like, let's build a couple of lanes each way here, we actually did have the road reserve to extend it if we needed to.
Yep.
But that, of course, has become a lot more expensive now because they were sold off some decades ago.
And which I understand, but at the moment, Michael, interest rates are lower than they've ever been before. If we're going to borrow money for infrastructure, is this not the time to do that?
And we are doing that, and you'll see more information come out in the budget that we hand down in November, which is important. But the other thing is, too, and you brought up the example of the US, and I think it's a great example because back in the 50s, I think it was, they started to build roadways or highways between major cities.
Yep.
And they were building them, you know, three and four lanes wide. And what actually happened was cities and towns started to pop up along the route. Now, their intention was just to get people from point A to point B as quickly and safely as possible. But, of course, now you look at the population of America and how so diversely spread it is, and that's as a result of this infrastructure. That's the sort of thing that we are wanting to do and I keep pushing to try and do in a place like New South Wales. But when you come and say, okay, why don't we just build six lanes each way or five lanes each way or whatever.
Comparatively speaking for our population, but yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. That's exactly right. And that's my point. He's talking about America with a similar land mass, but 330 million people, not 25, or in New South Wales' case, 8.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they didn't start out with 330 million, though. I mean, this, as you say, you go back to the 50s, and they were planning for the future.
No, but
and
they still had a couple of hundred million.
Well, that's okay. that's all that we're thinking of. And when you create a freeway, the objective is to get people from one end to the other, which means you will afford more people the chance. I mean, now, if when the Hunter Expressway one day continues all the way up through the valley, then you'll be able to get from Sydney to Scone, for example, in probably 2 and a little bit hours, which is going to make it easier for people to live there. You and I won't be around to see it, but others will be, and that's what I'm thinking of from a future perspective.
Yeah, and when you look at the road work that we are doing, the road reserves, all the major infrastructure like the roads and the bypasses, for example, they actually do, and we talked about the potential for dual highway and Singleton bypass. Well, the road reserve actually is there, and we're actually buying the road reserve so that should the demand be there in the future, and we need to put dual lanes in, we can do it pretty easily.
Yeah,
pretty easily, at a pretty low cost relative. And I'm glad you brought up the Hunter Expressway and having dual lanes because we're not too far off going out to tender. To effectively extend the Hunter Expressway up to the Golden Highway and build the Golden Highway New England Highway intersection flyover.
That's fantastic news.
So, yeah, so that's not too far off. I expect that we'll be going out to tender, well, I was told by the department that probably would be about October, November. I'm hoping that, and I think that's about a 6 or 8 week process. And therefore, if that's the case, then maybe in the first quarter, possibly second quarter of next year, we'll award the tender, assess them all, award it, and then as soon as that's awarded, bang, get up and go.
Yeah, right.
So we're looking at beginning that project certainly by halfway through next year.
All right, looking forward to that. Will we call it the Michael Johnson Memorial Freeway?
No. My name doesn't need to be attached to it. I'll just do my job and sit quietly in the background. Thank you.
Excellent. Michael, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.